Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
This is a man who, you know, in his email identifies himself as having been in an unhappy and an abusive relationship, and he feels that the conversations around men and women are biased against men and that the man is always portrayed as the villain. And he said this about that sort of moniker, toxic masculinity. He said terms like toxic masculinity are thrown around with abandon without considering for a minute that there could be something called toxic femininity. I wonder, would Gillette have had the nerve to use the concept of toxic femininity to sell products to women? Now, I'm not sure what that means, but nonetheless, I'd like to know what you guys think. He says, by definition, if there is one, there must be the other. There's 5 million years of evolution and it simply cannot have selected for a flaw in just one of two interdependent genders. In my opinion, neither term is useful. There are just beneficial and harmful behaviours which may represent differently or be presented differently in each gender, but they are there in both. So there's toxic men, I guess, and toxic women. Harm is unisex. He says, most men are actually decent people. One of the things we have learned from the youngest of ages is that you should respect and be loyal to women. This is a good thing and more common in men than the current trend might lead you to believe. So it goes completely against our most basic instincts to speak badly about our wives or our partners. In my personal experience, the same is not true in reverse. And I am just fed up with the current hashtag MeToo narrative that presumes every man is a predator in waiting and all women are as pure as the driven snow. My boys are growing up hearing this crap and it is not true. I am kind. So we want to put it out there. 53106. Is the term toxic masculinity harmful to men? Is it unfair on men? Is it the case that it is not all men? I think everyone agrees it is not all men. But the point is what do you do about the men who are the problem? And where do we go with this conversation? One of the people who's going to get involved in the conversation today is somebody who is not just a randomer, is quite the expert. In fact, it's Peter Cosgrove, future of work expert, and has always an interesting slant on this. Peter, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for talking to us on this. What did you make of that email, the idea that toxic masculinity is detrimental to men, it undermines how they view themselves, and indeed it is unfair?
I think the word toxic never works well in a conversation because you've already got people very defensive. I think the thing people need to realise about this, and Gillette ad is probably, unfortunately, they're getting great PR out of this. So you have to argue about what the motive behind this was. But that aside, you will always have individual cases where men have actually been the downtrodden one, right? So this is the challenge. What we're trying to differentiate is between the one, because people will come on and go, oh, my boy's this, or I this, or my wife does this, or whatever, right? We'll have loads of those examples. That is different to what the overall trend is. And if
so
men,
this is the one versus the
one. So
the
people
many.
people love to say, my granny smoked till she was 110, therefore smoking isn't bad for you. That's not the case, but that individual case may be true. So you will have lots of those cases. But if you just look at society, why this is a challenge is because of the power dynamic is still very much flipped towards men. Now, people might think with this whole Me Too movement, it's all changing. It just isn't if you look at the facts in terms of, the gender pay gap, the amount of men in work in senior positions versus females in work in senior position. And then all the basic privileges that men get that they don't realize, men don't get given out to when they work long hours versus the way women may be, not by everybody judged if they work longer hours. So what men need to realize in general, not in specifics, is that we still have it pretty good. And all people are trying to do is rebalance the narrative. However, it does in a case go too far.
Why is it the case, though, that some men don't feel they have it pretty good? Some men feel that they are being emasculated, put down, undermined. You see it. I saw a series of tweets that David Quinn put up about the Gillette ad where he doesn't like the ad campaign and he feels it's unfair to men. So, and I doubt he's alone in what he thinks. Well, so why are there some men, if you're saying that, the odd man is put upon and the odd man has a partner who, and they definitely exist, who are abusive or who are possibly violent or all sorts of things, But why, if it's only the odd person, would there be this kind of pushback against the hegemony, if it is the case that men are in overarching power? Why do some guys not see that?
Two things. One, they may actually, as you said, be in a situation where they don't have it very good, and therefore they presume that that's the case for everybody, which isn't. But secondly, a lot of people just don't see it. They just don't see it. The fact is, we grew up, every TV programme we saw was the woman at home, the man coming in from work. You look at, as I said before, all the things that are happening in the workplace. You look at how men are treated versus women treated in society. You just have to look at sexual discrimination, rape cases and so forth. And if you actually look at all the figures, you'd say that men, if somebody just came down from an alien, would say, men actually have it pretty good. That does not mean that every man has it good. But this idea that the moment somebody comes out with an ad like this, we're telling all men they can't be who they want to be, that's not what we're saying. When somebody, when the texter said, you know, my boys treat people well, they're loyal, I actually think people generally do. But actually what happens in the workplace is it doesn't work as well. You only have to look at maternity leave, how we treat people in many workplaces when they come back from maternity leave. If you've got a wife or a daughter or a mother who's come back from maternity leave, ask them how they felt. Ask them how it was like almost awkward in a lot of companies when they had to come back. Some companies are now offering paternity leave and men won't take it because they know what happened when women took maternity leave. So people need to realise, actually, there are things there that still aren't very equal.
Maybe last question for you, because I can see that the phone lines and everything have lit up on this. But if what you're saying is the case, and if most men have it pretty good, and I'm not arguing that with you because I think you're right, is that all the harder for the odd man who doesn't? Because on some level they know that they're supposed to be in, or, you know, that their birthright almost was to be in a position of power in their relationship or whatever. And by virtue of the fact that they aren't, they're out of step with the rest of manhood, and that's a problem too for those men. Is that why some of those men are angry, do you think?
Well, partly. I think there's two other things. There's one, you've got more men who are now not the main breadwinner, and they might be picking their kids up from school more often than we used to do in the past. And actually, in those situations, the man is the least dominant, and actually it can be a very difficult place. Other men, if a man isn't working and often is a caregiver at home, they're saying, oh, you're out of work, you're unemployed, you don't have a job. And actually, they're suddenly finding this quite defensive. They go, well, actually, I want to spend time with my kids. I want to actually pick them up from the creche. Why am I the only man doing this? So the next generation of men are actually hearing all these conversations and then thinking, well, hang on, are they not going for women over men? Am I going to lose out? Because people have this zero-sum game. If a woman wins, a man loses. So there is complicated things that are happening in society where more women are now the main breadwinners than men, and it's not an easy conversation.
I think that zero-sum thing is very interesting, because when you were saying about men are never criticised for working long hours, but women are, yeah. I have always worked long hours. I was a doctor. I worked 100 hours a week. Do you know what I mean? It was long hours. And there are people who always kind of ask, oh, you're still working like that? And it's always there. And I always felt the subtext was, yeah, is there a man or a child being shortchanged here somewhere? Because that one is always working. And I think that's what people do think. Whereas if I was a bloke, I don't think people would think that
way. And also the man never sees it and therefore doesn't notice it. And that's the thing. We don't notice what we don't
look,
see.
Look, thank you for that, Peter. Some very good points, as always. Let's take maybe a first caller in on this, a first listener. Neil is on the line. Neil, what do you think about the whole idea around toxic masculinity?
How are you doing, Kira?
How's it going?
A very serious topic just before lunchtime, so let's see what we can do with the limited amount of caffeine I've had in me today. I think the issue is, whenever you put toxic, like Peter said, it's a problem. And then the second problem is the word masculinity. If you look at your dad and your granddad,
yeah,
the term masculinity changes definition in all generations. So for me, The terminology of masculinity is very different to say my old man and his old man.
Right.
And so when you got people who speak about toxic masculinity, when it is the guy who is the strong, silent type, possibly angry, maybe drinks too much, very physical in how he deals with people, that's an old definition.
Okay.
And if you're hanging on to that in 2019, in 2019.
I know, it's getting a bit tricky to know what year it is.
Yeah, that's not what it is anymore. You know what I mean?
And can I ask you, Neil, as a bloke, are you offended by the term toxic masculinity, or do you think it accurately summarises something? Or what? How do you feel if you hear those words bandied about? Do they get your back up or no?
I have no strong feelings on it, because to some people they experience it, and I'm not like that.
No.
But some people are. Labels are a problem. Labels are the problem. As soon as you say toxic masculinity, we've labelled it.
Yeah.
And you can't have a conversation around it going, well, you know, I sometimes cry watching The Notebook. That's not a very masculine thing to do.
You and, you know, Shane Coleman. Yeah, no, absolutely.
And the two of us, we watch it together, actually.
I wouldn't be surprised.
but we'll save that for another show. But you know what I mean? Like, you can't label these things. You can't take your moral compass from a company that sells razor blades when all they really want to do is sell more razor blades.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
You've got to look at yourself. You know, if you are a bad person and you're a man, you're a bad person. It's not because you've toxic masculinity. He's a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, same with women. Women do it as well. You were talking about
the term feminazi is used a lot, and I would suggest it's kind of the flip side of toxic masculinity, isn't it? It's sort of like saying these women are angry and awful and we hate them and blah blah blah, and they're the feminazis, and then these guys over here, they're the toxic masculinity guys, and they're the incels, and we've identified these two groups that largely seem to exist online as opposed to in real life. You don't seem to meet any of these people walking around on your average day.
That was my next point there. They're all on Twitter. They're all hiding behind little legs. If I called you a feminazi right now, what kind of conversation would we have?
We might have quite a heated one, I would suspect.
Yeah, and it'd be great for people to listen to and all that sort of stuff. We wouldn't actually get anywhere.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I
have been called a feminazi loads of times, to be honest. But in fairness, never by anyone who actually knows me, and never by any men who actually know me, who often suggest that I am quite a man's woman in many ways, because I am quite blokey as well. So, but I've been also accused of being a lefty libtard and a fascist. So I think it seems to me, it depends on the day that's in it, what we get called.
Exactly, You'll shut down a conversation if you label it. You know what I mean? If you label someone, you're never going to get
it. But you're not threatened by the Gillette ad. You don't feel it's a big thing. And is there any value in that conversation? And they're certainly doing it a lot. The Gillette ad caught fire here, but there's been a series of ads very similar to it in Australia, about lads calling out other lads for their... It was to do with, I think, that White Ribbon campaign about violence against women after poor Jill Maher was murdered. And there's been a series of ads about lads calling out other lads who maybe are abusive towards women, or maybe are aggressive, or all those sorts of behaviours. And that's become widely sort of, I think, accepted in Australia as a series of ads, whereas we've had this one here, which is quite similar, and we've all jumped on it. Do you think there is any value in the conversation about lads calling out other lads who are maybe very sexist, or like, would you tolerate sexism differently to how you would tolerate racism in somebody? A lot of us bristle when we hear racist remarks, but maybe less so with sexist remarks.
Well, I think any conversation is good. You know what I mean? Even if you have crazy people involved, you hear a crazy point of view and you realise that's crazy. People shouldn't be thinking like that. So you kind of start that conversation. Any kind of conversation or a Me Too on Facebook or Twitter and all this sort of stuff, massively important. Because you've got to hear smart people and stupid people. That's why I'm on the radio now. You've got to hear stupid people as well.
I know, smart people. Stop that.
But you know what I mean? Like, any conversation is good. A lot of it is waste of time, though, because people are so quick to throw labels to shut things down, because our attention spans are getting smaller with Twitter and all this sort of stuff.
I think some people are just brewing for a fight as well. So they don't really care about what you say. And if they say, I don't like what you've done, blah, 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 and you try and maybe in a reasonable way explain, well, I thought this or that, and that's why I'm saying such a thing.
100%,
then they don't care. They don't want that response. They want a fight. So I don't know.
But kind of ending with this, they're strangers. You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
You know, why, you know what I mean? You know, we're having a bit of crack here on the radio, but like, some people may completely disagree with me, and that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But they're strangers to me. I don't really care. Like,
I totally agree.
Let's take care of ourselves and be nice to each other.
And
happy Friday.
Do you know, happy Friday to you too, Neil. and lastly on that, I think you're absolutely right. And one of the great liberating things for me on social media is I don't expect everyone to agree with me, nor do I have any real issue if they don't agree with me, and nor do I feel I have to keep talking to them until they agree with me. So they come on and say, you're wrong, and I go, yeah, fair enough, and that's the end of the conversation, because I don't care.
But Gary, you're a grown up, and that's never going to work on social media.
Yeah, I know, it's a tricky space. Alright, look, Neil, thank you for coming on, a very untoxic, very masculine man there on the phone line. Loads of people texting. Someone says, the texter who sent in the email about toxic masculinity has a point. I'm a woman and I have a huge problem with the way some women treat men and talk about men, etc. That's the term that I just mentioned, toxic feminazis. Right is right and wrong is wrong. The rules are there for both sexes, and I think that's probably fair. fair and true that we should all treat each other with respect. And somebody else says, obviously, Ciara, there is a pushback. People who possess power do not want to give it up ever. That text in to your show from your man is pathetic, to be fair. No one is personally attacking him. Way to make the argument about yourself. We are speaking about a society which is dominated by men, and that is a fact. I do think the patriarchy exists. I kind of agree with you there. But I suppose, do you know what? There are people maybe out there who are men who have had relationships with women where they haven't been treated well, and they hear all the stuff about the patriarchy and they go, what the hell? This isn't my experience of it. My experience is I was bullied by a woman. So, you know, people's own life experiences do colour their view. One of our listeners, Una, is on the line. Una, do you think men should be upset by the term toxic masculinity?
I don't know if men should be upset by the term toxic masculinity.
Threatened, then, or defensive, or, you know.
No, I don't think they should be threatened by it. I mean, I think, you know, I think, like, most men, like most women, are kind and decent and good people. Yeah. I don't think most men are dangerous. You know, I'm married to a man, and my three sons are boys.
Yes, I have three sons,
and
too.
And men, you know, and I have a boy dog. but I think the people who perpetrate the most violence against women and against other men are men. And that's an unfortunate fact of life.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important for people who get upset about the term toxic masculinity to remember that when it comes to interactions with men, women always have to be careful, because we don't know, until we get to know somebody, we don't know if that man is going to be a danger to us or not.
Ah, so yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. So even though most men don't do this, we don't know which of the men, we can't identify by looking which of the men are who will and who won't.
Exactly. We have to constantly mediate our behaviour, and we have to negotiate.
So are we judging, in a way, all men by that kind of nasty yardstick of the few that kick off? And is that part of the problem, in which case it is for men to turn around to other men and say, stop giving us all a bad name, you stupid gits?
I think the whole discussion should be focused. I think actually the term toxic masculinity deflects the debate, because it ends up then being a discussion about hurting men's feelings. I think the important issue is that we have to constantly go back to the point that the only person responsible for, or the only person responsible for rape, is the rapist. It's not the person who's raped.
I agree.
It's not other women. It's not other men. We constantly have to say that the man perpetuating the violence, in either in a domestic situation, in a situation where the woman doesn't know who's attacking her, in a situation where a man is being attacked by another man, we have to go to the men and say, it's men who are perpetrating this violence. You know, like, we teach our daughters to be safe and to be careful.
Yeah.
And that's a really necessary thing for us to do.
Totally.
But we shouldn't deflect from the issue that it's men who perpetrate this violence, you know.
Do you know what I don't like, though? And I hear what you're saying, and I can't fault you, because factually you are correct. But what I don't like about the term toxic masculinity is it makes it sound like it is something innate, okay? As in, it's in men to be like this. And I don't believe it is. I think it's the same as if you have two children and one is parented correctly and they grow up to be a nice, well-rounded person, and one is not parented correctly and they grow up to have behavioural issues. I think it's as simple as that. Blokes behave badly, but I don't think that there's a streak in men that's terrible. I just think some people maybe they weren't brought up right. Maybe they didn't learn respect.
It's
not innate. I don't believe it is.
I don't necessarily think that it's innate. I mean, that's a whole other discussion, you know. But I think we do live in a society, as you said in an email or whatever that you got in earlier, saying that the society is basically, it's a patriarchy that we live in. Do you know the court system, last week or the other day, there was a case where an 11-year-old who had been raped by a man, and the 20-year-old man who raped her, he got 10 months in prison.
God, that seems very low.
You know, he raped and impregnated an 11-year-old.
We probably shouldn't comment on an individual case, because I can't fact-check it here, Bonair. But
I
hear you.
We have a court system that is patriarchal. We live in a society that's patriarchal. And until we get men to understand...
The power structures see the world through men's eyes, because men designed the power structures. I agree with you.
Can I give you one quick example that happened to me 20 years ago? In a bar with my sister, who was heavily pregnant. We're sitting at the bar. She's drinking water. I'm having a beer. And two guys came in and wanted to chat us up. And eventually I turned my back. I didn't want to engage with them anymore.
Yeah.
And the guy got my ponytail and pulled my head back and said, what the F are you doing sitting at a bar if you don't want to get chatted up?
Mm.
Now, he felt that he was entitled
yeah,
to invade our space, to insist that we engage with him. and to assume that we would be interested in engaging with him. And when we said we weren't,
but you see, maybe, he's just an individual.
No,
and
he's not. That's the thing, because we can't. I mean, I'm now 51, so like in a way, I'm lucky. I'm invisible to men, you know. But most women in their younger years spend their time negotiating men who step in too close, who inappropriately touch them or make suggestive comments.
I know, and I hear you, but you see, here's the thing. Let's broaden this out slightly. We are more than willing, right, to take the individual man who behaves badly and tar men with the one brush.
We are to some extent.
Whereas, do you know what? Here's the thing. When we talk about things like jihadists, we're terrified of saying Islam does this because we know it's an individual and we don't want to. And particularly among liberals, we're terrified of extrapolating from the individual to the group because we believe that that's a problem. Except for with men, we do it with men and we don't do it with other groups. So we are hitting men as a group.
I don't accept that, Ciara. I think toxic masculinity is referring to a culture. It's referring to a rape culture that exists. It's referring to a culture where women are seen differently, they're treated differently, they're looked at differently. And I think that toxic masculinity, I think it's an unfortunate term because it doesn't maybe lead to open conversations, but I think it refers to a culture and it doesn't refer to an individual. I mean, I understand why that man who sent in the email would be hurt or upset by the idea that women think that all men are dangerous, when in fact he knows that some women are dangerous.
Yeah.
And some women are violent or invasive towards men. An example of that is a friend's teenage son, who he's a very good-looking kid. Girls come on to him quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And he said he finds it intrusive and he finds it annoying, but he understands that for him it's just annoying. If he was a girl and the people coming on to him were bigger and more physically strong and more of a threat, that it would be a completely different situation.
I do
for
think
him.
That physical strength somebody mentioned evolution, that this is something to do with evolution. I think it boils down to physical strength. If somebody's physically stronger than you, they have the upper hand in certain instances. Yeah. But look, thank you for that. We're going to have to take a quick break, but thank you for that, Una. Some amazing points there. Now, you're very welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about an email that came in from a listener where he was talking about the term toxic masculinity, kind of on the back of the Gillette ad, and how he felt it was harmful and indeed unfair to men. And lots of you getting in touch. And one of our listeners, Jen, is on the line. Jen, you have four boys yourself, so you're raising boys. What's your thought on the term or the idea of toxic masculinity?
Well, I suppose the way I look at it is that boys are boys. My boys are rough and rowdy and their play fighting can get rough at times. But, you know, they're being taught good old-fashioned values at home. They hold the door open for people. They're being taught to say please and thank you and to be respectful of others. But I still think that, you know, one day a woman might accuse them of something that she perceived them to do.
Why do you think that?
It's just the way that whole toxic masculinity thing, when you look at it that way. I just think that men are being put in a little box that they don't belong there. I think everybody in the grand scheme of things, men are men and, you know, and boys, I think if you bring them up right and you love them and you know, give them all the right direction and guidance, then they'll grow up to be good men, you know. And
yeah, I definitely think there are good men, but I think sort of statistically it is much more likely that women are assaulted and don't report it to anybody than that women are making up false accusations against men. So it's interesting that you would see it possibly the other way around.
Yeah, but I still think it's a minority, and I think that I think it's a minority of men that behave that way.
Yeah, I would agree with
and
you.
And I think that I don't think that the statistics may have gone up. I think it's just that more of it's reported. Maybe not enough of it's reported, but at the same time, I think that they get bad press because I don't think they're as bad as what we perceive them to be. Do you know, I think that a lot of the time, like especially with the whole hashtag MeToo movement and all that kind of stuff, do you know, I just think that it's just got bigger than what it actually is. And I think that men are getting a bad rap at the moment.
Do you? I'm a bit like you. You have four sons. I have three. But it's much as I would suggest. And they are also like, you know, and as you say, they're boisterous. They wrestle. They're always thumping each other and all that kind of stuff. And I get that. And I don't really bat an eyelid about it to a certain extent. But I do talk to them about this. this kind of stuff? I mean, for example, I have said to my eldest son when he became a teenager and started to go out and started to, you know, get with girls and have alcohol and the things that teenage, you know, he's older now, that they do. And I spoke to him about respecting girls and obviously not getting involved with girls who are drunk or unconscious or things like that, because yeah. I think, do you say those types of things to your boys?
Oh, absolutely. Well, like the one thing I always do is try and, you know, I think if they have respect for you and they love you as their mum, you know, I mean, we have no female dynamics in this house at all. It's just me. It's just their mum.
That's a fairly significant female dynamic, though.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I've always driven it home to them that, you know, that they respect women. I think that's the whole point, that they not only just respect women, that they respect people generally. You know, and that those good old fashioned values of holding a door open for somebody, or just saying please and thank you, should then surely allow them to tell a woman that she looks nice, you know, or that she looks good in something.
I totally agree, except for I don't think Me Too is a pushback against people telling women they look nice. I think it's a pushback against sexual harassment, which is quite a different thing.
But that's the thing, you see, a lot of it now has come down to women are being offended by men telling them that they look nice, or that, you know, sometimes some women could be offended because a man has held the door open for them.
But,
you know,
I take what you're saying, and there is the odd prickly woman who might react badly to someone holding the door, although the vast majority I don't believe do, but there is the odd prickly woman. Totally get that. In the same way you're saying there's the odd man who might, you know, rape or murder or kill.
Exactly.
But having said all of that, I do have to challenge you on the notion that the Me Too movement is responsible for people being offended by people's good manners. I think the Me Too movement is about saying we don't want to be harassed. We don't want the Harvey Weinsteins of the world saying we'll only get a job and if we give them sexual favors. It's a very different. It may be a spectrum, but I think it's a bit of a leap to say Me Too is undermining.
Bigger. I think it's all got way. It's been everything. I think is like everything is nowadays blown out of proportion. You know.
Okay.
I think there was a time and a place for it, and I think that there was a genuine reason why the hashtag Me Too movement started. But I think that's the problem, you see. Then everything becomes bigger than what it is. Mm. So that now when you have like a Gillette ad like that has come out, and you look at it and you kind of go, well, you know, you have to feel sorry for men in some context, you know, because they could be caught in a situation the same as any woman could be caught in a situation where she didn't feel comfortable, and rightly so, she should put her hand up and say, look, I don't feel comfortable. But then on the other side of it, which does happen, where, like you say, you do get prickly women, or they might take it out of context altogether.
It is very good to have all the different perspectives. The only thing is I would say a man putting up his hand and saying I'm not comfortable in the situation has a much greater degree of power than a woman putting up her hand and saying the same thing, where she's much more vulnerable because of physical differences. But I do like to hear all the different points of view, Jen, and thank you for your points well made, and good luck to you. Thank you. Someone says, I remember the days when you could explain something to anyone. Now you have to be really careful when explaining anything to a woman. The term mansplaining has made it easy for a man to look like he thinks all women are thick, which isn't nice when you believe the opposite to be true. Toxic masculinity is another term that will be problematic for men who don't have a toxic thought in their head. You just need to direct the word at someone and people will believe it to be true, and there is danger there in that. Stephen, one of our listeners, is on the line. Stephen, you work with lots of young men. What do you make of that term, toxic masculinity?
Yeah, I think the point is kind of been made at this stage that maybe it's not the right term to use, in that I suppose you see the people who are annoyed by the term toxic masculinity, it kind of vindicates the term in a way. But the way I would have looked at it more would have been a kind of fragile concept of masculinity. I'm cautious on using that term as well.
Yeah.
But this kind of idea is, as I suppose a lot of your callers there before you have been very much kind of, you know, it's male versus female kind of conversation. And dynamic to that, where I see it very much as a conversation that needs to be had amongst men, by men, and almost exclusively by men, in the sense that this whole kind of concept of, you know, man up and grow a set. When
you hear that all the time.
And all that
people,
stuff.
You don't have the balls for it. All of those terms. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's no coincidence that the rate of young male suicide in this country is quite high by European norms.
Totally.
Like, and it's stuff like that there that I see as being the toxic masculinity, as having to bury that because of, you'd be seen as being, God forbid, somewhat feminist or weak. I just find it bizarre. Like, I'd done a piece in the journal there over the summer, and the kickback I got off that, as if, like, I should be castrated kind of thing, you know, and it was all...
Because you tried to write something balanced about it. Interesting.
God forbid you try to start to have a conversation.
Yeah.
On it. But you've seen that with the Gillette stuff during the week as well. Now, I think, obviously, it was kind of alluded to that there might be some cynicism in that or whatever. But it's a conversation that needs to be had. And when you weigh it up against kind of their marketing, kind of, it has started a conversation, which for me is positive.
I agree with you, by the way, about toxic masculinity maybe not being a helpful phrase, because I think it does get people's back up and therefore it doesn't do what you want it to do, which is engage in debate and conversation. But I do think you named something there when you spoke about fragile masculinity or the idea that somebody's ego is brittle. It doesn't really matter if they're a man or a woman. It's those brittle egos that unless you're pandering to them, that unless you're kind of going along with what they want, unless you're a bit like, say, Trump-esque, you know what I mean? Unless you're kind of agreeable to whatever they want, you're the problem and you are there to be kind of dominated. And I think that there are probably men and women who have those personalities, and it is a kind of a fragile or a brittle ego. I don't really like the term masculinity attached to it because I don't necessarily believe it's innate in men. I think there is probably something in their upbringing, that whole boys will be boys thing, that could be diverted or redirected somewhere else, and maybe not turning a blind eye to bad behaviour, a bit like the Gillette ad said. But I'm not sure, I don't believe for a minute that men innately are in any way worse than women. I don't believe it for a second.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, masculinity itself, I wouldn't necessarily see as a positive or negative term. Like, masculinity is what it is, in that it's what young people who define themselves as men, it kind of used as their anchor for identity. It is kind of, I suppose it comes down to kind of, and I'm afraid even to get into this, but patriarchal norms, and that's not something you're going to change with a conversation.
No, but
overnight.
It's good to have the conversation.
But there's no harm in men being in touch with their own emotions.
Yeah.
In that, like, I would much rather see that than be going out to the graveyard at the weekend because someone
absolutely
felt that they were too weak to talk about their emotions, and for that reason went and took themselves out completely.
No, absolutely. And thank you for that, Stephen. And I think Stephen makes a really good point that those kind of masculine stereotypes, they're as harmful to men as they are to women, because there are lots of men who feel trapped, unable to talk, unable to share, and unable to maybe look for help when they need it. And we're all just bloody human. Like, the genders are an add-on to humanity. We are all human beings with the same hopes and dreams and fears as each other. And I think it's kind of crazy to think that men are always going to be, you know, able to do everything. That's rubbish. Like, it's bad for men and for women. And we need to be a bit more gentle about how we talk about people, maybe.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc, your online healthcare provider. See a doctor, therapist, or physio now on our app or at videodoc.ie.